The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, it is wonderful to have you with us. Thank you so much for joining us. I have got on the line with me right now a wonderful guest who is a returning guest, somebody who's been with us many times on the program. He's also just very recently been with us here in Cleveland. He was one of our presenters at the Bringing America Back to Life convention. David Prentice is the former vice president of scientific affairs of the Charlotte Lozier Institute. He is also former advisory board chair and the founding member of the Midwest Stem Cell Therapy Center, a comprehensive stem cell center in Kansas. In 2020, he was appointed by the Secretary of Human Health and Services to the Federal Human Fetal Tissue Ethics Advisory Board. Dr. Prentice has almost 50 years of experience as a scientific researcher and professor, including as Senior Fellow for Life Sciences at the Family Research Council, Professor of Life Sciences at Indiana State University, Adjunct Professor of Medical and Molecular Genetics. Oh, I hate that word. I can never get it right. Indiana University School of Medicine and adjunct professor of molecular genetics at the John Paul II Institute in Catholic University of America. He is a recognized, internationally recognized expert on stem cell research, cell biology, and bioethics. He has provided scientific lectures and policy briefings in 40 states and 21 countries. My goodness, including testimony before the U.S. Congress and numerous state legislatures and the U.S. Academy of Science, the U.S. President's Council on Bioethics, the European Parliament, the British Parliament, Canadian Parliament, Australian Parliament, German Bundestag, French Senate, the Swiss Parliament, and the United Nations and the Vaticans. Welcome to the program, David Prentice. It's so great to have you back.
Thank you, Molly. So good. And thank you once again for having me over to Cleveland for Bringing America Back to Life. For any of your listeners who missed that, don't miss it next year. What a great time. What a great crowd.
So yeah. Thank you. You're absolutely welcome. And you know, everybody keeps telling me, Molly, this is the best one you ever did. And the people say that to us every year, but I really did feel that there was, you know, following the disappointment of, you know, the defeat of our amendment process thing that we had in November, we were expecting it to be very down and, you know, somber. And it wasn't, David. I don't know about you, but there was a spirit moving in the place.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
And it was encouraging to see people, you know, like you say, not sort of downcast. Okay, we lost one battle, but the war's still going on, and we've got great people, and we've got a great general leading us. So, people just need to keep fighting.
Absolutely, absolutely. David, at the end of, and folks, I want you to know that David's presentation for the 2024 convention is up on our website. If you go to bringingamericabacktolife.org and then you click on current speakers, you can find David's presentation there. The full presentation is there. And so please go and listen to it. But what we're going to be doing today, David, is we always get questions at the end of week. We give about 10 or 15 minutes after the presentation. We allow people to ask questions and we get those submitted on little index cards. And then we ask as many as we can during that 10 or 15 minutes. We always get more than we can ask. So we invite you to come back on the program, which is what we're doing now, to answer some of those questions. And I think that's, you know, let's go right there now and see if we can find some of these questions. So one of the questions that was asked was, how prevalent is cord blood donations? Do you recommend it? And is it ever used for the wrong reasons?
Well, let me start with that last one first. And the answer is no. And it's a very good thing if you can go ahead and donate. Now, there are some people that they keep their cord blood, their adult stem cells, for their own family. And that costs money. But it doesn't cost any money to just donate and go into a public bank. Last count, there's something like a total of 250,000 units available in the U.S. And there have been, last count, over 10,000 transplants using umbilical cord blood stem cells per year. But it's going up, it's going up. And I tell you, the thing that's good about donating cord blood, you can get a match easier than you can with bone marrow. So it's important to have those units of cord blood stem cells available. So somebody that needs a transplant for a leukemia or a cancer, or they're also using it for curing sickle cell anemia now. So we need more units available so that people can then find their match and get treated for their disease.
So there's not the whole process is very simple, is it not? I mean, once the baby is born and there's cord blood there, and it's just a little bit of that is taken and stored. Is that the way it normally works?
That's right. It's after the cord is cut.
Yeah.
And so there's no harm or worry for baby or for mom. They used to just throw that away. Well, we need to keep the cord blood, and in fact, even the solid part of the cord is rich in adult stem cells that can be used to treat people. And it's a matter of having enough and having a diverse enough collection that any to the registry can find a match.
Yeah, this is, I know that some of, when I was having my children, it wasn't available, you know, it wasn't the in thing to do sort of thing. It probably was there, but it wasn't being advertised like it is now. But I know that, you know, as my children have had children, that they've, you know, definitely this is something that is very much, sort of almost expected if you're in the right hospitals, you know, please give your cord blood. And as you say, the cord blood, there's no big deal. It's just taken right after the cord is cut. So it's very, very easy to do it. Second question that we have for you is, would you say that the battle is not when life begins, but if it's wanted? That's an interesting question.
Yeah, that is interesting. I might change the way the phrase is. I agree that the battle's not when does life begin. That's a scientific fact that's been accepted, frankly, in the scientific community for decades, and even in the public community, there's a recognition, I mean, you know, just from junior high health class, that about when your life began. It's not a matter so much of wanted, it's a matter of will we value a particular life, any life. And that could be whether that's a little embryo, that could be a baby that's growing in the womb, that could be a teenager, it could be an adult, it could be a senior citizen. This all comes back to the question of what kind of value we put on any human life. Mm-hmm. And I would maintain that every life is valuable, is sacred, and we need to value each and every human being.
Mm-hmm. No, I would agree with you. And I think this is the battle that we're fighting right now, that, you know, the more we start debating as to when, you know, when a life is worthy of being saved, or the fact that you can't destroy a life at a certain point. David, I'm sure you've been the same. You've been in this for 50 years. I mean, it's, you know, we all said at the beginning, if we devalue and start playing God with the little children in the womb, we are going to do it at the end of life too. I remember giving a talk about that probably a good 40, 50 years ago. Just, we cannot do this. If we start playing God, you know, goodness gracious me, it's going to come down to be, you know, when are we safe? None of us are going to be safe.
That's just it. And whether it's beginning, end, or someplace in the middle of life,
yeah,
if our attitude does not value some lives, eventually that creeps in and we don't value any life.
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. And I mean, it breaks my heart when I see the number of elderly that are now being, you know, sort of devalued and put pressured into euthanasia, as well as, you know, young people now with anybody who's got a depression. Canada has gone completely off the charts crazy with all of this stuff. I mean, it's terrible. Okay. Next question that I want to ask you is, because I want to try to make sure that we get through all of these questions, David, so that you can answer them. So that, you know, I know people take a lot of time. They listen intently to your presentation. It was a phenomenal presentation, absolutely wonderful. And I know that a lot of people wanted to have these questions asked, so let's make sure we get to them. Are you aware of any adult stem cell treatment for discoid lupus or systematic lupus?
And I think did answer this through an email, but let me give you the short answer. And if people want more, they can get a hold of me. I couldn't find any adult stem cell treatment for discoid lupus. There are some adult stem cell trials and treatments for systemic lupus. A friend, Dr. Richard Burke, who used to be at Northwestern University, used to do a lot of those transplants with adult stem cells for lupus and other autoimmune diseases. He's now at the Scripps Institute. I also found that Children's Hospital of Philadelphia are also doing some of these transplants. You know, as far as discoid lupus, there are enough similarities that if somebody had a question about whether they could get treated for that, I think they should talk to their doctor, especially any specialist, more in depth about the similarities between systemic and discoid. There are also some new drugs on the market, again, still being trialed, but that may also have some facility against both types of lupus.
Very good. And I think this, you know, people obviously asking these types of questions have got, in most cases, there's a reason why they're asking it. So it's very hopeful when we can provide the information that we were able to provide with you coming into the convention. I always feel that all the hard work that we do is really worth it, because this is what we're looking for. We're trying to help people to understand, you know, the full spectrum of what it is that we are fighting up against and what it is that we've, and the hope that's there. Because David, I'm sure you and I met, oh my goodness gracious, it must have been 24 years ago when I think you were one of the very first presenters I ever met, Dr. Andrew True brought you in to talk at John Carroll University, I think, at that point. You know, and you were talking exactly about this and the hope that we have with stem cell, adult stem cells. And I'm going to ask you a question to just, before we go any further, to just make, to, can you qualify for people that there's good stem cells, and I'll never forget, this is the way you started off your presentation 24 years ago, good stem cells and bad stem cells. Tell us a little bit about good stem cells and bad stem cells.
Well, and the good ones, let's start there. What we've been terming adult stem cells, these are what people used to call bone marrow transplants. We have within our bodies, really from birth onward, these what we've termed adult stem cells. I mean, even babies have adult stem cells. They're not only in our bone marrow, but they're in a lot of the tissues of our body. We've already mentioned how they're in umbilical cord blood and the solid part of the cord, that once the baby's born, you can use those. And the thing here, there are two positives I like to talk about with adult stem cells. Number one, you don't have to harm or kill the donor. I can be a donor. You can be a donor. Babies after they're born, cut the cord. They're a donor. But you don't harm the donor in getting these cells. And the other thing is they actually work. Last number I saw was somewhere over 2 million people around the globe have been helped with adult stem cells. The bad ones, embryonic. You probably, if your listeners have probably heard about embryonic stem cells. And it's been, frankly, over 20 years ago that this was sort of the fad, you might say, for scientists. They were pushing embryonic stem cells, just give us money. And they made all these absurd claims that they were going to cure all known maladies with embryonic stem cells. Well, there are two negatives for embryonic stem cells. We had two positives for adult, two negatives for embryonic. Number one, you have to kill a young human being to get embryonic stem cells. You kill an early human embryo to pull those cells out of her, and you kill this young human being in the process. The other negative, they don't work. They tend to form tumors in the experimental animals. They don't really cure anything. And that's after 25 years of animal experiments and a very few, count them on one hand, tries, clinical trials for patients. Nobody got any better.
Wow. Wow.
So, you know, people need to keep this in mind. If somebody says, hey, would you like a stem cell transplant? Ask them, what kind of stem
what
cell?
What kind, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, very, very well clarified there, because I think that's what we do need to understand what all of this is about. Question from the floor, so to speak. What are the positives and negative aspects of IVF process only involving creating one embryo? In other words, I think what they're asking is, if you could only create one embryo, is there a positive and negative aspect of that?
Right. And let's lay a little groundwork before we get to that, because what led to that question was the fact that the way in vitro fertilization, IVF, is practiced nowadays and has been ever since the first IVF baby was born in 1978, is they tend to give the woman high doses of hormones to get not just the one or two eggs for that month, but 10 or 20 or even 30 eggs all at once. And then they fertilize all those eggs in the laboratory dish. And now you've got 10 or 20 or 30 embryos. Well, what do you do with all of those embryos? Unfortunately, a lot of them are just tossed away. Some are frozen for storage. Some die along the way. But there's a tremendous number of deaths, human deaths, that take place in the current practice of IVF. So, well, instead of making 10 or 20 or 30, what if you just made one? And that one then was transferred. It's what I would call a life-sparing way to practice IVF. I don't think we can really go to the extent of calling IVF life-affirming, because you still are creating and manipulating human life in the laboratory. And like I said, in the way it's currently practiced, and even if you were trying to do it this gentler way, there are many deaths that occur. It's not life affirming.
No, exactly.
But yeah. You might be able to do it, for example, what they're talking about. It's called single embryo transfer. You only create one embryo, and that embryo is the one that goes into the womb. So you give that little one a chance for life and hope and pray that they will survive, gestate, and be born. So that's the positive aspect of that. The negative is simply that you're still manipulating life in the laboratory.
Absolutely.
You can't exactly replicate what goes on inside mom in terms of that egg being ovulated, being fertilized, finding a home there in the wall of the uterus and so on. Mm-hmm. You can only approximate it. And now, even as careful as you can be, there's still a risk to the baby. There's still actually a risk to mom.
To mom, exactly. Yeah.
We're starting to see reports come up that even if it were this life-sparing one embryo, one baby, both mom and baby are at risk, even in those gentlest of conditions. So you got to go in with your eyes open, realizing that it's not a normal way to gestate a baby, create and gestate a baby, and there are risks involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Final question. I think we're not going to have any time for any of the others, but the others are actually repeats from some of the last ones we've had. And we've got about 3 minutes. So I'm giving you a deadline here. Would an artificial womb be good if it was only used to help babies, for example, ectopic pregnancies or snowflake babies?
A great question. And there's been some discussion of late about artificial wombs. They haven't gotten to the point where they can make it work. All they have at this point is what would be a very fancy incubator, so that these extreme preemies, you can put them into that and give them a chance in a more womb-like environment to go ahead and grow and develop until they would be more mature and ready to face the world outside of the womb. You know, I think it's good in that sense to have something like that where you can rescue these little lives. The whole question, of course, about viability, can you survive outside the womb? This would push against that and show that there were some, again, life-sparing ways to go about it. The problem that might crop up is simply that once you've got something like that that'll work, will there be people that will abuse it and decide that, you know, I don't even want to carry that baby. We're just going to gestate in this artificial womb all the time. And you really are actually endangering not just that life, but mom's life. It turns out that during gestation, some of the cells from the baby end up in mom's body and can actually live as stem cells later on to help repair any of mom's damage and work against certain diseases. So the natural situation was well designed, we might say, to nurture and bond mom and baby together.
Do you, and just sort of going on with that one, do you think that there will be, I don't. I'm going to say right up front, folks, I think we are messing with something that is completely, it was an amazing, beautiful way to have our children. And that is the way God designed us all. Do you see, though, down the road, David, where we would actually be able to have some of these types of situations where we do have these little ones who are, you know, through an ectopic pregnancy? Let's talk about ectopic pregnancies, because do you think that this is something that we will at some point be able to find a way to have those little ones survive?
I think we probably will. It's going to take a lot of work. I know a friend who's working on that exact idea of trying to rescue these little babies in ectopic pregnancies, if you can get to them in time. But let's keep in mind that these are little ones who have already started their growth and development. We're not starting at the very beginning in putting the one-celled embryo into that artificial womb. I think there are going to be ways to get at that. It's still going to be, let's call it, an imperfect solution in terms of trying to replicate what we might see in the normal womb environment. And another way that this might go, though, is being able to come up with a way to transplant that little ectopic baby into another womb for a woman who is prepared to receive that and be able to gestate that little baby. Mm-hmm.
almost like a surrogacy, but an ethical way. Yeah,
it's still science fiction, and it's still geared to, is there any way possible we might be able to save this little one? It's probably more amenable to rescuing that life than some kind of an artificial situation.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Dave, Dr. David Prentice, as always, it is such an honor to know you and to have you be able to come on the show and to be at our convention. Keep up the great work. You have done so much. Folks, you have no idea how much this man has done in protecting and honoring all human life. So thank you, David Prentice, for all you've done.
Thank you, Molly. God bless.
God bless you too. Bye-bye. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest. You all know about Mike Lindell and MyPillow. You also all know that MyPillow no longer have the support of their box stores or shopping channels the way that they used to. They've been part of this cancel culture. So they want to pass the saving directly on to you. They're having a $25 extravaganza. When Mike started MyPillow, it was just a problem solution, one product company. Well, since then, with the help of his dedicated employees, they now have hundreds of products, some of you may not even know about. To get the word out, they're having a $25 extravaganza. Two-pack multi-use MyPillow, just $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Their six-pack towel set, $25. Brand new four-pack dish towels, you've guessed it, just $25. For the first time ever, the premium MyPillow with the all-new Giza fabric, any size, any loft level, even king size, just $25. This amazing offer won't last long, so order now. Just go to MyPillow.com or call 800-641-0466. Again, 800-641-0466 and use promo code MyPillow.com/Molly. Every item you order using this 800 number and promo code MyPillow.com/Molly means Cleveland Right to Life earns life dollars to help us achieve our mission of protecting all human life. Check out their amazing merchandise and help us to protect the innocent babies in the womb.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.